The Wisconsin Supreme Court is debating how long someone's eviction history should be available to the public. It's Monday, September 11th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, vehicle collisions are the leading cause of death for elk in central Wisconsin. Margaret Faust will have some tips on how to prevent these accidents. Plus, farmers across the state are relying more and more on technology to run their farms, but not everyone has the internet access needed to manage their basic business needs. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
How long should someone's eviction history be available to the public? As Sarah Lear reports, the Wisconsin Supreme Court is considering that question as it weighs a proposed change to record-keeping rules.
Per statewide court policy, records for most eviction cases have to be retained for 20 years. But tenant advocates say that policy is trapping low-income Wisconsinites in poverty by making it difficult for them to be approved for new housing. Corey Lundeen is an attorney with Legal Action of Wisconsin.
What makes eviction records different from other court records, including criminal records, is that they impact a basic human need of having shelter.
Legal Action is asking the Wisconsin Supreme Court to change the rules so that eviction records would need to be kept for only 1 year in cases where there was no monetary judgment against a tenant. Landlord groups spoke out against the proposal, arguing it would impede access to relevant information. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A northern Wisconsin sawmill will pay nearly $200,000 in fines after a 16-year-old boy was fatally injured while working there this summer. The U.S. Labor Department says a federal court order requires Florence Hardwoods to take steps to comply with child labor laws. The department launched an investigation in July after the death of teenager Michael Scholes. He died 2 days after being pinned in machinery while at work. Officials found at least three other children were injured while working for the sawmill since 2021. Nine were allowed to illegally operate machinery, and seven were allowed to work outside of legally permitted hours. Kristen Tout is with the Labor Department. She says the company is complying with the court order.
They're placing signs to warn minors not to enter the sawmill, not to enter different buildings within that sawmill.
In a statement, Florence Hardwood said it did not knowingly violate the law and no longer employs minors at its facility. A survey of Wisconsin farms found 83% reported having internet access, and while the number of farms able to get online is growing, Hope Kerwin reports connectivity is still a problem for some.
Linda Sealer is an organic dairy farmer in Price County. Her farm has access to the internet through her cellular network, but she says it still depends on where you're standing.
Sometimes I'll be having a conversation, even in my house where I have a booster, and if I move to the left or move to the right, somebody will say, wait, you broke up.
Sealer says getting online is crucial to her business. She frequently checks her milk quality data and needs to be able to contact her breeder or vet on short notice. Data is also becoming a bigger part of farm management decisions for both livestock and crop producers. With more money going toward rural broadband in the state, Sealer says she does think service is getting better, but she thinks it will be a while before all farms feel the benefits. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
U.S. Department of Education Deputy Secretary Cindy Martin was in Milwaukee last week. Corrine Hess reports she saw how the Milwaukee Public School District is using federal pandemic dollars to expand STEM education.
MPS is home to the nation's largest group of students involved in Project Lead the Way. The national program connects students to engineering, biomedical science, or computer training. Martin visited two city schools to see how federal dollars have been leveraged to expand the program.
For students to have the courses and access to materials that they need for the hands-on, minds-on learning,
that's going to prepare them for the jobs of the future.
32 MPS schools offer STEM classes, and about 9,000 students are enrolled. Federal dollars will expand STEM to 5 more schools. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Families in Madison have had a rough first week of school. A national bus driver shortage and a new contractor have led to transportation delays and even cancellations throughout the district. Parents are turning to some unconventional means now to try and figure out when their children will come home from school. Linda Rand, whose daughter is in third grade, said a bus had not even departed the school by the time her daughter should have arrived at home.
And I know this because I put an air tag on her yesterday to make sure I had an idea of where she might be, considering all of the craziness with the bus system.
The national company First Student is now providing buses to Madison after the school board approved the change in March. The company offers a bus tracking app, but says it won't be rolled out until all of the routes are solidified. And finally, in northern Wisconsin, 48 elk have died in the last 30 years after being hit by cars. Margaret Faust says state agencies shared safety tips this week to keep the protected species safe.
Every fall, more and more people are driving across the state to watch Wisconsin elk and listen to their bugling call during the breeding season. Josh Spiegel is a biologist with the Department of Natural Resources. He said these sights and sounds are special, but it comes with a responsibility. People need to be careful around the animal, especially when they are crossing the road. Unlike white-tailed deer, they don't scamper off.
And I think a lot of our motorists drive towards that elk and think, oh, it's going to move out of the way. And they don't. They're very lethargic in a sense. They're calm.
The Forest Service also encourages tourists to pull over when they spot elk so they don't block the road. Margaret Faust, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. Hope you enjoyed that special edition of Wisconsin Today on Saturday, focusing on our special How We Got Here, abortion in Wisconsin since 1849. And if you missed it, should be right there in that feed for you. Thanks for joining us this morning. Have a great start to your week. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.